For me, music knows no boundaries. Music creates a passion for life. Music knows no hatred. Music is the highest power that brings self-realization for God, and God sees no difference amongst its children.
Keshav Juwanani is known to his friends and fans as KJ. A San Francisco DJ who is known internationally, KJ helped popularize a type of electronic music known as trance.
I started DJing in like around 1990, and it's been like 13 years. No one in America at that time was playing that style of music as I was. And at that time, it was only called techno music because it was technological music. And the term trance hadn't been tagged onto it. It was just called techno music. Trance dance music has been something that has been going on for centuries. Since like the African people start banging on their drums, for like when you do in the Sufi religion, when we have the whirling dervishes. And India also, they have like trance dance movement where people get into like hypnotic altered states. When I started realizing that this music is creating the same effect as it would have done for those people if I was living in those times, then this is the modern representation of the tradition that has been carried on for centuries, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and has finally made its way into the 21st century with the use of technology. I feel like music and love go hand in hand together, and that's all that I've ever tried to propagate.
When KJ first arrived in America in 1986 as a gay man from a predominantly Muslim country, he discovered a kind of acceptance he could never find in Pakistan. His life there is something that only provokes bad memories.
I had to live with two distinguishable differences. One, I was a Hindu. Two, that I was gay. Being Hindu and growing up in Pakistan was a very challenging situation because to most public, I would have to hide my name and not mention that I'm Hindu just in case they get themselves into some religious fervor about the whole situation. Being Hindu in Pakistan was different also because of the riots that used to happen. I didn't understand when I was a young child, why are there people like rioting outside our home and why is our lives in danger just because we are Hindu.
KJ knew he was gay at a very young age, and like being Hindu, it was something he tried to keep a secret.
I knew that I was different, but I knew that that was so unacceptable in Pakistan because according to Pakistani law, I could be stoned to death, a brick wall can be pushed on myself, or I could be imprisoned. They could put me under like public lashings. I knew that if the word had ever gotten out that I would be blackmailed, my family could be ridiculed. So all that was pretty scary.
KJ also suffered years of sexual abuse. He was outed in school, and eventually, he was blackmailed. His mother found out he was gay by one day walking in on KJ and his abuser. He remained suicidal for some time.
At what point did it all come to a head when you said to yourself that you want to leave?
I didn't have any idea that I had to leave. The only way that I knew that a part of me wanted to leave the country was when I actually started doing research on homosexuality. I went to the library and they had a book on homosexuality, like a chapter on it, and I started to kind of like read about it. And then I knew that there were other countries in the world where that was a little bit more accepted. There were people who had same sex. All that seemed like a fantasy story of the world that I would never know. But that's not how my story turned out.
KJ's sister married an American Marine who was stationed in Pakistan, and they moved to the United States. She was like a mother figure to him, and soon he would follow her to California on a student visa. He arrived in Orange County when he was 17 years old.
Well, it was an answer to my prayers. I was glad that I had left Pakistan. I didn't know that I was going to stay in America for 17 years. I didn't know what was going to be my fate. I knew that I didn't have to live my life in fear anymore. But I didn't realize until just recently that that fear that I lived under in Pakistan had taken a toll on me and that it had shaped me into who I am today.
KJ's immigration problems began in 1989 after a failed attempt at marriage.
My mom, she was coming to America, and suddenly all those years of all those repressed feeling and my newfound sense of freedom that I was experiencing of like being gay all came to a halt. I had already told my mother that I was reformed. I was straight again. I'm not gay. I pressured myself to thinking that I could actually live a straight life, and I had gotten married. And I think getting married to her was the stupidest decision that I'd ever made. But since she left me, I felt that I should abandon my immigration application because I didn't qualify for immigration status because my US citizen spouse had left me. So for the next several years, I wanted to be invisible. I just wanted to be left alone. I didn't want to bring any attention on myself because I felt so relieved and so safe inside the US that I was afraid that I would lose that security if the INS found out that I did not have legal status to be here.
After several years of keeping a low profile and avoiding his immigration status, KJ finally decided to confront it.
I really wanted to be here, and I didn't want to choose Pakistan as my reality. I just wanted to be here in like America, and I did try for the lottery that they had. I was informed about political asylum, and I was advised and suggested that I should pursue this route for my citizenship.
But shortly after applying for asylum, an option available to immigrants who face persecution at home, came America's so-called war on terror. Now, in the interest of homeland security, KJ and many other immigrants are facing the prospect of deportation.
So I went ahead with special registration. So I was taken to a room. One guy was sitting inside the room and he interviewed me. Then he made me sit back outside for like a while until they had made a decision or to let me know if I can go or I have to be detained for further questioning. But when he came back, I said, okay, well, you can go, Mr. Jivnani, but you have to sign this piece of paper. It was for my deportation proceedings. He knew that I had already filed for political asylum. I was told that if my political asylum goes through, then that paper, I could have that voided at that point. When I went for my political asylum meeting, they referred the case to the immigration court.
KJ's hearing is set for this July, when he could be deported back to Pakistan, a country he escaped 17 years ago.
I just want to know where is my home, and I hope San Francisco is my home. And I feel like a lot of love, a lot of accepted. I have friends, I have a community over here. I have my cat, and I hopefully I'll be able to live in this country.
For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco.